is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing the center of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, is a critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourself approved unto God, workman, that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Conceding to the doctrine of walking. A whole different twist on the song, Walk This Way. All right, before we study God's Word once again this evening, it behooves each and every one of us that we have dealt with any personal sin in life. The requisite prescription in regards to personal sins is the rebound technique of 1 John 1:9, of which God forgives us of our sins experientially. We are then transferred back from the state of the spiritual of carnality, of which we engaged in and got into when we did sin, to a state of spirituality. And we are fulfilling the imperative, therefore, Ephesians 5, to be filled with God the Holy Spirit. We are predisposed then with respect to the filling of the Holy Spirit with our human spirit that was given to us at the point of salvation that's set apart for the truth, the gap, the truth of Bible doctrine undistorted by the sin nature, and therefore have clear insight and understanding in regards to the truth of God's plan and escape the judgment of negative volition of which the truth is hidden from them because of their negative volition and failure to deal with sin in the life. So with that in mind, we'll give you opportunity to rebound as we start with our usual word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for the grace and privilege of coming together once again in this assembly of this local church. We ask that you continue to bless us in our endeavors of seeking you and knowing your plan for our lives explicitly, undistorted by the sin nature and purely apart from error, and that God the Holy Spirit will again enlighten us to the truth in these matters at hand this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here we're going to look at the principle of walking as is applied to the Christian life, doing this doctrine as it was part of the subject in regards to the reason why Paul's volition of the Thessalonians was evangelized and that all needs were met in regards to the Paul's volition for the purpose of these believers in this local church, as Paul so stated in chapter 2, verse 12, to walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. The walking there, again, refers to fulfilling God's plan of salvation for their Christian lives to the maximum, not just saving faith, but also faith to faith, and to therefore be a part of maximum glory in sharing the inheritance of Jesus Christ in regards to our new eternal state that will be fulfilled in the eternal kingdom of God himself under the rulership of Jesus Christ. Roman numeral 1 here, definition and vocabulary. The verb for walking is used both literally, as obvious, and figuratively in both the Old Testament and New Testament. Walking being a common activity of the Homo sapien, the ability to go from one place to another, utilizing their own bodies and momentum to do so. This doctrine we'll explore here is figurative use, in which the verb describes the pattern or function of the phase two life of the royal family of God. Walking here goes beyond just saving faith, but it looks at the experiential phase two application of fulfilling God's plan for the individual priest's life as being part of the royal family. We are all royalty in direct association with our King of Kings, Jesus Christ, in relationship to him, even though believers often do not act like royalty. See, now the Greek verb, single verb, that is used for walking is peripateo, deripatio, meaning to walk around. The Hebrew equivalent is halak, H-A-L-A-K. It also simply means to walk. Roman numeral 2 here. Now the mechanics of walking, the mechanism in regards to walking, imply one day at a time. Obviously, literally, you walk a certain distance, but one must stop and rest. And hence, the walking is one day at a time. That is the very concept of living the Christian way of life. To take the Christian way of life a day at a time. Not to worry, as Christ says, about the things of the future, for these things will take care of themselves. What is of issue and what is of importance is what's going on in your Christian life, right here, right now, today. And tomorrow, obviously, is another day, another new day, in which we will get up and again engage in our Christian life. Ephesians 5, 15 through 16. Verse 13. But all things become visible when they're exposed by the light. This looks at all of the activity, viewpoint, etc. that surround us living in this world. And when it is seen under the understanding of the truth of Bible doctrine, which is the light at hand, then it is exposed for exactly what it is. Whether it's in line with God's plan or whether it is not. For everything that becomes visible is light. This parallels the admonition to take captive every thought for Christ. And that means that when you take divine viewpoint and you apply it to any given situation or idea, philosophy, etc. at hand, you see it under perspective, the same insight that God sees it. And therefore, it becomes light because it is put in its proper perspective. Most people run around in darkness completely oblivious in regards to the fact that what they do often is wrong. And all you got to do is look around society and see the customs of societies, etc., as they practice these things and engage in them as the norms and standards of what it means to be a human being living, you know, with other human beings. And see the gross immorality, etc., that's engaged. And they are blind to the reality that these things are despicable before God. And when you have Bible doctrine, and hence the importance of reprogramming your mind with the mind of Christ, you put everything within its doctrinal frame of reference. You put everything within its doctrinal purpose, and you expose it before God, whether before man or not, as being this is the doctrinal standard with respect to this. And in order to do that, you must be spiritually astute, spiritually awake. Verse 14, for this reason it says, awake, sleeper. The sleeper there is a believer that's spiritually asleep, one who is not in tune with the marching orders of Bible doctrine in their own Christian life, failing to rebound, etc., and arise from the dead. This is all a volitional decision that people have to make in regards to their Christian life. And Christ will shine on you. You will radiate, if you will, and it will be revealed at the bema seat, literally. The light of which you, therefore, stand under and by in the Christian life under the divine viewpoint. And they will be exposed to the bema in regards to the very garments of which we wear, as we saw in the book of Revelation. And we will reflect the very light that Jesus Christ shone with, manifested, in regards to his own life at the first advent. And he will again as he returns. And that is the issue, that is the goal that believers should have in regards to their Christian life. And in order to do that, you must conduct your life. Your manner of life must be conducive to proper morality, etc., in regards to God's plan. That's verse 15, our particular verse. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Unwise are those who opt for the human viewpoint of life versus those who will embrace the divine viewpoint of life, which is true wisdom. People can be intelligent. They can be, if you will, academic geniuses, the Einsteins of this world. These people who are out of touch with the truth of God's plan for their life are just as stupid as the moron who knows no Bible doctrine in his life, spiritually. And while they may be extremely genetically intelligent, spiritually, they're idiots. And they are not wise. And we are to conduct ourselves as wise individuals, as taking the wisdom, God's wisdom, and implement it in regards to our own thinking, in regards to our own applications of life. And the very purpose is to redeem the time, literally. That's verse 16. The New American Standard, making the most of your time, is literally redeeming the time. To make the time allotment that God gives us on this planet, as He gives us another opportunity once again this evening to adjust to His will, being here in Bible class to make application, and to set apart this time of our life in regards to God's service. That is part of redeeming the time, as it is in regards to the rest of what we do, being in fellowship and conducting ourselves correctly, because the days are evil. And truly, we are in a time of evil that is unsurpassed. We're fast approaching it, if not in it. Unsurpassed since the days of Noah. The evil that basically infiltrated this planet and saturated it at that point in time. And that evil is seen in regards to the very aspect of ideology that our world now operates on. You cannot get away from the one world government in regards to its whole philosophy and stand, even on vacation. It's all about the United Nations. It's all about one worldism. It's all about let everybody believe the way they want to believe, which we agree with. We're not taking issue with that. But that the whole principle is a one world order of which peace can exist between men under their own energy of the flesh. See? And we know that is not true. Airlines that you fly, you know, we're members of the One World Order, other aspects of travel, promoting these things, you can't get away from it. We live in a very evil time as the very intensity of mankind is seeking to destroy divine institution number four, nationalism. Headed by the great merchants of this world. It's all about money. It's all about power. Don't think it's all about peace. That is just a facade. That is just the bait that they use in order to try to get people to cough up their own individual freedoms. See. Confer James 4, 13 through 15. To walk in wisdom. How few people actually walk on this planet in wisdom. In regards to the idea of living the Christian life, seeking to stay in tune with God on a daily basis, and not to let your ideals, your plans to distract you in regards to the real issues in the Christian life. That is NPR and your spiritual advancement and application in this regards. Just as we saw as we went through it in the book of James. Come now, you who say, verse 13, today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there, engage in business and make a profit. Again, it's usually about the money. People can't get their eyes off the temporal. They can't get their eyes off the now. Because they had no true hope. They had no real focus. They had no vision of what eternity means. All people could see is the hand in front of them. And they can't look beyond these things, and therefore they will embrace what is physical in life, as that is the priority of life in all matters, rather than the spiritual realities of life, that which controls life and governs life, and will conduct life and bring it to its fruition completely and totally, and reinstitute it under God's directed will, under new heavens and new earth. See. So people tend to look simply at the temporal, at their temporal situation, and always trying to fix their problems by sacrificing Bible doctrine in order to do it. That is the wrong thing to do. If you're sacrificing Bible doctrine in order to appease your flesh in this regard, then you are not walking in a manner worthy of God. To stand firm, just like this church at Thessalonica, in the face of persecutions in front of them, to stand firm in the faith. Otherwise, and make application. And here, as James brings out, those who want to go out and make a little money. And the idea is, we're not leaving class. Now, we'll be back. You know. But, really, do you know whether you'll be alive tomorrow or not? Can you see in the future that good? If you can, don't tell me when I'm going to die, please. I'll know soon enough. See, people don't know. God is free to take us home anytime He wants to. And I'm happy to be on solid ground again, quite honestly. I see now why I didn't go into the Navy. One of the reasons. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. See. What's next? You always shudder when people go, what could happen now? What's next? You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You're given certain minutes, hours, days, months, and years to live on this planet. And in that time, either you'll make your tree good or you'll make your tree bad. And every decision you make has direct impact in regards to the ultimate outcome. And to have the attitude that you can sacrifice your NPR for any elongated period of time, and that you're fine spiritually before God. God's not going to kill me. And of course, the adolescents, those of younger years, generally do not contemplate this reality to the degree those of us who have been around for a little while. I agree with you. I've been there. I've done that. You know, nothing's going to happen to me type of scenario. Then you look back and go, good grief. I should have been dead how many times? And God's grace has just had to be there, etc. Those who cannot keep their eyes focused in regards to the true spiritual realities of life and to be loyal and committed in that regards are the kind of people that abruptly disenfranchise themselves from Bible class in order to go out and pursue whatever it is in life. Here's a job. It could be anything. It could be a relationship. It could be Funsville. It could be weather. You know. Hey, it gets cold down south, too. You may not believe that. Oh, you didn't get dang home. Yeah, really. You walk around in 85-degree weather all the time, and it drops down to 40. That's like being here at 60, dropping down to 20. That's cold. That's why you're glad you got a warm room to go to. Instead, you ought to say, verse 15, if Lord wills, we will live and also do this or that. Constantly looking to God in regards to His directive will for you, what He wants you to do in your Christian life, the decisions to make in line, in step with Bible doctrine, and then allow Him to bless you in regards to the exigencies of life that we all definitely enjoy, etc. And there's nothing wrong in these things in and of themselves to better yourself, to make more money and things of this nature. But not at the expense of God's will for your life. And the only way that people get around that is by rationalizing often in regard to what God's will really is. Roman numeral 3, the mechanics of walking, further, is related to the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. Just as we dealt with the parental analogy of King Paul with these new believers, and they're getting their legs and feet under them and learning to motor under their own power, etc., as believers. And you walk, and the longer you walk, the more confident you become, the more strong you become. And people can walk for long, very long distances at a very fast rate, speed when they're actually in good shape in this regards. And that is pictured against the backdrop of the Christian walk being in the midst of an intensified state of angelic conflict, just as we saw there in Ephesians, here Romans 13:13. Verse 11, and this do, knowing the time, it is already, that is, to apply divine love, previous verses. It is already the hour for you to awaken from sleep, if you are spiritually dull, not in tune with doctrine, you need to wake up spiritually. For now, deliverance is nearer to us than when we believe. Every day brings us a closer day to the rapture. In regards to the history of mankind, the night is almost gone, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore lay aside the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. And putting on the armor of light, light is not just a repertoire of words. It is application and isolation of the STA, of those words. Let us behave properly. The term behave there is peripateo, walk. Let us walk properly. As in the day, not as those who follow the lust trends of the STA under human viewpoint agendas in regards to the Christian life. And then he gives here the examples here of some STA sins, not in carousing and drunkenness, the party dog, can't show up at a Bible class without red eyes and a hangover, you know, because they got to party all the time, that type of deal, drunkenness. Crowding is like hitting the streets, hitting the bars, you know, things of that nature, looking for trouble. We're not talking about just going out and having fellowship with other believers, things of that nature. But those who constantly are out there, you know, looking for the greener pastures, if you will, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality. Obviously, sex drives a lot of this type of activity. Not in strife and jealousy. Often, those things that promote that kind of energy of the flesh is because people will have conflict with others because they have things that they want to have and they don't have. They become jealous. It's a bad mental attitude. It's just nothing more than maladjustment in regards to one's acclimation to one's niche in this regards. And you've got to get your eyes off of people in order to maintain the proper attitude otherwise in regards to your Christian life. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you put on Jesus Christ? That's get in fellowship and apply Bible doctrine. The clothing analogy looks at Christ in regards to his appearing at the first advent and engaging in nothing but divine good production from the beginning to the end of his life. Essentially, especially his ministry. And make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lusts. To make no provision for the flesh is don't especially intentionally set yourself up in regards to certain STA trends that you know that you have a weakness to. Or a weakness for, ending the sentence in a preposition. you know you got a weakness in regards to what you picked to sin. You do drugs. You have a weakness for drugs. And you intend to go hang out with people that you know do it, and they don't care. You know, you violate separation in that realm, etc., or others, other things. And it can be, it's not just necessarily the promiscuous or the, you know, illegal types of sins that can take you down. It's people that promote certain viewpoints otherwise. The self-righteous types, the legalistic types, the religious types. And to go there and expose yourself intentionally in this respect when you got a weakness. You should, obviously, it's hard enough to deal with your SCA when it just simply comes upon you. But to go out and intentionally set your life up around these things, that's stupidity. That is nothing but setting yourself up for a fall. And it shows you, basically, essentially, as a sign of giving up the battle before it even begins. And often. Not always, but often. And obviously, we're all probably guilty of this to a certain degree in certain areas of our life. And Paul, obviously, picks very obvious ones. Just because those sins are obvious doesn't mean the other sins are not just as detrimental in regards to people's spiritual advance. That's the way self-righteous people think, well, look, they do this and that and that area, but they got their own areas, see. And they hang out with people that will support them in their areas. Duh. Roman numeral 4. All right. This deals with the five general spheres of walking. Walking in a certain sphere of whatever it might be. Conducting our Christian life in the general manner of walking in the Holy Spirit. Obviously, that means one who is fastidious in their rebound. Galatians 5:16. How you walk. We're here to tell you, walk this way. Walk in the sphere of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, or in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. You can keep your mind tuned in regards to the importance of being in fellowship. Doesn't mean that you're not going to sin. Doesn't mean you're not going to stumble. James says we stumble. We all stumble in many ways. But overall, you will walk your life accordingly to God's plan for your life. And you will be successful. And you will not carry out the detrimental destruction of the sin nature, taking you to sin unto death. And the whole principle brought out by this is that either you're in fellowship or you're out of fellowship. See, and there's no walking the line in this respect. Walk by the Spirit, or in the Spirit, in the sphere of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Get in fellowship, bring the doctrine forth in regards to your thinking, and take that path of which you are to walk. And you will avoid a destructive nature of your sin nature as it's detrimental to your Christian life overall. Walking in faith rest. 2 Corinthians 5:7. One of the desires that all adjusted believers should have is to be face-to-face with Jesus Christ. And while, yes, we're created to enjoy life, there is a far better life than even this life on planet Earth. And that is to be in the company of God Himself. Therefore, verse 6, be always of good courage. To be committed in your boldness and to stand for Bible doctrine. to be unwavering in the face of potential distractions, hostilities, persecutions, things of this nature, tests that we face. And knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Some believers have gone on, many have gone on before us, thinking of those maybe closer to us. And they're before the Lord. A lot of even fundies can't understand how often adjusted believers deal with death. That's because they don't even have the kind of hope that we have. They don't look at death as a promotion. They don't look at a death as the ultimate escape in regards to Satan's world, of being in a state of total bliss and happiness, especially those believers whom you've seen battle the Christian life and done it right and hung into the end. Their whole aspect of existence right now, they don't give a hoot and you know what in regards to really what's going on here. Why would you? It'd be like being in paradise and sitting there and constantly concerning yourself with what it meant to live back in the tundra. See, who wants to think about that? But yet you got, you know, religions that, you know, pray to the dead. Like they're really paying attention. When we're in the body, we're absent from the Lord. We'll have to change this body. Eventually we will. For we walk by faith, in the sphere of faith, not by sight. That's where you had your eyes on. In regards to Jesus Christ, pleasing Him in all aspects, desiring His company, and desiring that which He has to offer us even further in regards to the salvation that He's already provided for us. Remember, when He comes back, His reward is with Him. And He possesses it all. Everything was given to Him by God. He owns this world. He owns everything in creation, and things that we haven't seen to be created as of yet is His. So, you know, people got a hobnob with the cosmos. Well, why don't you try hobnobbing with Jesus Christ for a while? Because sooner or later, that's what's going to pay off. See how much of this crowd everybody likes to hang with, how much they give you in your eternal state. How much they add to you in regards to how you exist in your eternal state. All the reversiveness of this world that people just have to be around and embrace in contradiction to Bible doctrine. See. Well, faith rests. Walking by faith, not by sight. Faith rests the fact. Put it in God's hands. He will take care of it. He knows all things. He knows everything you're going through. He knows everything you're going to go through. He's not going to be caught off guard with anything. He's prepared. He's not up there asleep. You don't have to ring the bell. Wake up, God. Help me out here. He made provision in eternity past for every aspect, every moment, every second of our life. And the provision's all centered in regards to the truth of Bible doctrine, that is the standard by which He will operate and make provision for us in that regards. Hence why it's so important to walk by faith and not by sight. To be the agnostic, you got to see it to believe it. So, ye of little faith. Colossians 2:6. It's just another excuse, a negative volition, not wanting to embrace Bible doctrine. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Well, that walking obviously looks at the fact we didn't see our salvation. We just simply believe. We believed in Jesus Christ. We believe now we're saved. We believe we're going to heaven. And it also infers the fact that we were received under the plan of grace. So, faith, Christian life is by faith, first and foremost, and it's under a plan of grace. And once you start shortchanging grace in your life, And you can mark my words on this. You start shortchanging grace in regards to others around you as well as your own Christian life. And you'll find yourself in the company of the self-righteous people that exist in this world that basically are spiritually, you know, maladjusted completely, if not to whatever degree otherwise. It just floors me how people can accept forgiveness on one hand for their own lives and can't forgive others. What's wrong with this picture? How's that walking in Him? See, it's not. So, just one of those things to keep in mind. One of the beautiful, most beautiful things that ever appealed to me in regards to getting hooked into an adjusted local church was the principle of grace. By God, I, Kenny Reed, can make it to heaven, and I can maximize and get the prize, being who I am. And when I said that to myself, and I looked at myself in that regards, I go, wow, that's grace. If you get the drift, see. So, you take the experiences that we've been through already in class, that's been brought out by Paul otherwise, and you apply it towards others. And truly, that grace is the super glue of the bond of unity of an adjusted local church. When people start substituting grace for legalism, bitterness, anger, things of this nature, then all they're doing is putting cracks in the mortar designed to hold the bricks together otherwise. See, walking in Bible doctrine, the divine viewpoint of life, 3 John, verses 3 and 4. Paul's epistle, letter to his spiritual brother, beloved Gaius, obviously an associate of John that he's close to. And in verse 3, he states, "For I was very glad when brothers came and bore witness to your truth," in regards to his representation of the plan of God, and to stand for Bible doctrine. That is, how you are walking in the truth. That this believer is staying the course, maintaining his fidelity to Bible doctrine in regards to his Christian life. And John, as a communicator, as an apostle, obviously, as we would see it in perspective of being a pastor in this regards, he claims where he gets his joy from. The real joy of being a pastor. I have no greater joy than this. That's pretty strong language. Something that makes you happy. Obviously, being the time he lived, he never saw a Lamborghini, did he? Or else maybe he wouldn't be saying that, huh? You know, that's the idiotism. No, this is a spiritually adjusted believer. It wouldn't make any difference if he's living today or when. The adjusted communicator has no greater joy than this, to hear of my children walking in the truth, to recognize that their effort in regards to providing the truth of Bible doctrine to those under a lot of, to their charge, that these people are taking that doctrine and they're taking it seriously and they're engaging in it and they're making the most of it in regards to their Christian life. You want to tickle your pastor pink, that's how you do it. That and birthday presents. Just kidding. Now, spiritually, that's why it gives you the greatest joy. And obviously, we're dealing with the very thing of thankfulness in regards to Paul and these Thessalonians. And why he is so thankful. Wow, because you don't see positive volition like this every day of your life. See? D, so walking in the sphere of Bible doctrine. That's the emphasis there, walking in truth. D, walking in love. Obviously, the emphasis here is divine love. That means being in fellowship, having the right mental attitude, and application of doctrine. Ephesians 5:2. Therefore, be imitators of God, verse 1, as beloved children. We're all believers are God's children. So act like His children. Act like the child that the parent embraces and, if you will, is proud of because they're obedient. And walk in love. See? Walk in love. If you're going to imitate God and come under the auspices being His beloved children in an experiential way, you must walk in the sphere of love. That's divine love. Just as Christ also loved you in a position of service towards one another as fellow believers, fellow population, applying Bible doctrine in fellowship, and even making the sacrifices necessary on behalf of the body of Christ in this respect. And imitating Christ, He gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. To apply Bible doctrine, to make the sacrifice, to make the applications towards fellow believers, is a fragrant aroma to God. Believers either stink or they smell good before God. And those who don't care about the body of the faith, they stink, see, before God. So, walking in love, in that sphere. So, that looks and emphasizes, if you will, our responsibility towards one another. And maintaining the very momentum of this local assembly, as well as other population around us, as we might otherwise have opportunity. And then, obviously, in conjunction with that, similar to that, is E, walking in divine good production. To, again, redeem the time, to be in fellowship, to build up your SG3 account. Ephesians 2:10. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Salvation is totally free. There's not anything that anybody can add to salvation, getting into heaven, in regards to their own energy, in regards to their own being. It is a free gift. It is based on grace. It is apart from works. Salvation phase 1. Not as a result of works, that no one should boast. No one will have the right or given the opportunity to make any boast at the bema seat and standing before Christ regards to, I got to heaven because of me. The legalists that say you got to believe plus work for your salvation to get into heaven, to keep your salvation, are those who are under the umbrella of this type of boasting. The self-righteous legalist types. And they will be set straight. They will be set straight. For we are His workmanship, verse 10, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. Jesus Christ was the epitome of good works in regards to His humanity on this planet. All the miracles He did. Miracles, so many, that not trying to record them in any books would essentially fill up this planet. He did this in 3 years. And John tells us this. He said, not even the books of this world could hold all, record all the miracles and things that occurred in regards to Jesus Christ. The picture of Christ and His ministry was nonstop. Essentially. Now, obviously, He had to have sleep. His humanity had to have sleep. But other than that, He was constantly on the go. And we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. It's part of our election and calling plan. See, being conformed to His person, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, to follow the very reason and purpose for why we are created. And that's to serve God. To serve God under application of Bible doctrine in our own Christian lives. Roman numeral 5. The Christian walk is depicted as a Spirit-filled life in witness of Bible doctrine. Romans 8, 4. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, nobody can keep the law. The Mosaic law is actually a curse because it proves how fallible mankind is, how imperfect we are, how sinful we are. God did. How He did it was sending His Son, the true manna from heaven, in union with the humanity of Jesus Christ, to fulfill the law on our behalf. So He could be plus our, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin. He condemned sin in the flesh as sin was judged in His body, in order that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. What's the purpose of the law? And what does it demand of us? To do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The law points to us what we're supposed to do that is right before God. And because of what Jesus Christ did, and what He accomplished, and His work on the cross, we are able to fulfill that mandate. And again, it's by grace. You sin, you rebound. You get yourself in touch with sound Bible doctrine. You start implementing in your life, you rebound. And you fulfill the requirements of the law. He makes it possible for us that we can be in fellowship and operate under the umbrella of absolute righteousness. And that is through the entities of our human spirit with God the Holy Spirit. Experientially. Galatians 5:16. I say, walk by the Spirit, and the Spirit will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Same thing we read earlier. Ephesians 5:8. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words. That's their sophistries, their logic and philosophies of counter-argument in regards to God's plan for your life. See, people just don't come out and say, you're wrong. They have their own attack, their own defense, their own logic that they try to implement to convince you otherwise. And all they are people trying to deceive you, to get you off track in regards to your own thinking, with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. How important is divine viewpoint versus human viewpoint? Well, you just saw it right there. Because of the human viewpoint approach to life, that's what brings about God's judgment. Because people are away from God. They're not thinking God. All they're doing is thinking Satan and his domain in that regards. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Stay away from them. The doctrine of separation. For you were formerly darkness. Unbelievers, obviously, are the prime example in this regards. As we were operating completely and totally under our SCAs as unbelievers. But now you are light in the Lord. You're positive to the truth of Bible doctrine. Walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Not as children of darkness. Not emulating your unbelieving counterparts in life. 1 John 1:7. Verse 5, and this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light and in Him there is no darkness at all. that is a reflection of his absolute righteousness, his glory manifested. And physically, he's exposed in such a manner, such purity of light, that we in our physical bodies, we could not see him in that in his state of being in that condition, in our physical condition, and live. That's how powerful that light is, the light of God. And there is no darkness at all. So this is what he demands in regards to having a relationship with him. You too must be not of darkness. See, over the years, you put all this doctrine together, and you see the importance of salvation and that Jesus Christ provided in R+R. You see the importance of rebound. Because experientially, you can't be running around here engaged under your sin nature. You got to be engaged under the filling of God, the Holy Spirit, and with your human spirit, which obviously all fulfills requirements of light, of fellowship with God, as they were created, the human spirit is again created in righteousness, as it is set apart to the truth. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, that means out of fellowship, out of step with the truth of Bible doctrine. We lie and do not practice the truth. I had somebody say to me, you can't show me anywhere that says that we have fellowship with God. What about that verse? If we say we have fellowship with him, it's what we call it, being in fellowship. It's amazing. Hardly any believer I've ever met outside an adjusted doctrinal type of church truly understood the term fellowship, the intention of how it's used in regards to God. You say fellowship to people in the Fundy world, all they can think of is being together, humanly speaking. I have yet to run across a lukewarm believer that has any idea, really, until you break it down and explain it to them. I've ever heard this term. It's probably because their pastor doesn't deal with this epistle very often. We lie and do not practice truth. You can't be out of fellowship and be under your sin nature, be in fellowship. There's no walking the line, once again. But if we walk in the light, that looks at the application of doctrine as you're in fellowship. And when you're in fellowship, you're applying doctrine. I don't care what else, what you might be doing physically otherwise. You can go to sleep in fellowship. You can sleep in fellowship. Heck, I find myself praying in my sleep. I go, don't I pray enough, God? You going to wake me up doing this number? Well, you figure. Doesn't mean I was necessarily in fellowship. No telling why I was praying. But, you know. The only encouraging is you're preoccupied. You're preoccupied with God. That's encouraging. See, I take that as a sign of encouragement for me. That actually, while I was sleeping, I was thinking about God for some reason. Rather than the day I was going to meet him, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, again, if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. This is true fellowship. You know, let's get beyond the fact of hanging out with reversionists is not having true fellowship with them. True fellowship is like what we should be in class right now, all of us in fellowship, isolating the STA, and the filling of God and the Holy Spirit, in company with one another. That's true fellowship. And the fellowship is pure, it's sweet. You know, if somebody does get out of fellowship, mental attitude soon, the politics is going to rebound it right then and there otherwise. You know? That's what makes for a good time. Truly. We have fellowship with one another. The blood of Jesus, the Son, cleanses us from all sin. That is where the grace comes from. That's what makes it all possible. Of what Jesus Christ accomplished on the cross. So the Christian walk is depicted as a spirit-filled life and witness of Bible doctrine. The reason why one must be fastidious in their rebound. Roman numeral 6, walking is used to describe the grace apparatus for perception, that which we call the gap system. And we'll pick that up there for you. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to continue to lighten these things in Jesus' name.